right. Good morning, LifePoint Church. How are we all doing? Beautiful. Shout out to the team one more time. Didn't they do a great job? I know Jared is a little under the weather. He's not feeling well, so I'm glad he made it through without any embarrassing moments. So we'll just leave it at that. You can pick up what I'm talking about. Maybe. Anyways, good morning. Welcome to LifePoint Church. My name is Andy Driscoll. I'm the lead pastor here, man. I'm so excited and glad that you're here with us, LifePoint Church. I say this all the time. There's so many churches in Louisville that you could go to, but the fact that you're here with us this morning, man, I'm so stoked about that. And we're just, like I said, I'm just thankful you're here. And today is week three of our kind of our Christmas series, the series we're working through called "To Us a Child Is Born." And what we're doing in this series is we're looking at four of the names that the Old Testament prophet Isaiah used to describe the Messiah, to describe Jesus, man, some like 700 years before Jesus was even born. And he describes Jesus in these incredible ways. And our key passage of scripture for this series is found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And again, it's a very common passage of scripture that we hear around Christmas season, right? Around this time of year. And it says this. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And so far in this series, we've covered Jesus as our Wonderful Counselor, right? And then last week we talked about Jesus as Mighty God. Mighty God, right? And if you missed either one of those, you can always go back to our podcast and check those out. You can go to our website, go to wherever it is that you get your podcast needs met, but you can do that. And then next week, we're going to be looking at Jesus as the Prince of Peace. It's our Christmas service a couple days before Christmas. So I want to encourage you again, and I'll probably say it again at the end of the service, man, make sure you invite your family, your friends, a stranger, whoever, but invite them out next week. We want to get as many people here as we can to celebrate the birth of Christ. And if you can't get excited and invite someone out to that, man, I don't know what to tell you. But it's a time, too, that you have a less likely a chance of you being rejected because people come out to church on Christmas. So invite people. But today, what we're going to be looking at is Isaiah's prophetic description of Jesus as being our everlasting Father. Our everlasting Father. Now, this description of the coming Messiah, of Jesus as our Father, man, it really takes it to a whole nother level. And what it does is all of a sudden it makes this relationship with Jesus, this description, incredibly personal, right? Because he's being described as a father. And when we think about that, that begins to bring up a variety of thoughts and feelings and emotions within us as people. You see, we all can relate to a father because we all have a father. Every single one of us do. But where it gets tricky, however, and complicated and problematic at times is it really all depends on the type of relationship that you had with your father. You see, some of us, when we think about a father, our mind floods with these just great memories, great experiences that we have had and maybe even currently have with our earthly father, our biological father. We think of, or whoever that person is that plays that father role in your life, you think of just that they were just a great man who loved you, was there for you, supported you, that had your back. And it brings up these great memories. Sure, they probably weren't perfect. You know, being a dad is a tough gig. You know, I've made plenty of mistakes in my 11 years as a dad, as I'm sure my kids would attest to. and will tell you stories that I really probably don't want them to tell you. But and sometimes they do. So listen when they talk, and you'll get some dirt on me. But maybe your dad was, you know, made some mistakes, but he was a good man, and you have these great memories of your father. But in a group this size, and I know some of you very well, I know that many of you, you don't have those type of memories of an earthly father. You don't have those great experiences. Maybe for you, maybe your dad wasn't terrible, but maybe, honestly, he just wasn't a good dad. Or maybe for you, he bailed on you and your mom when you were young. Maybe you never knew him. Maybe he was awful, terrifying. Maybe he was always drunk or intoxicated. Maybe he was emotionally abusive or physically abusive to you or to your siblings or to your mom. Maybe he was just never there. Even when he was physically there, he never was there. Didn't seem to care. And maybe if he was there, all he did was leave a wake of destruction everywhere he went. But whatever the situation is, you have memories of your father when you hear Jesus being described as an everlasting father, sometimes good, sometimes not so good, sometimes even traumatic. And see, what tends to happen in situations like this is that when you hear Jesus being described as your father, you begin to project an image of your earthly father onto your everlasting father, because it's your frame of reference. It's where your mind goes. You basically begin to believe that Jesus, if he's an everlasting father, then Jesus must be just like your dad. Which again can create some major issues, some major barriers in your relationship and ability to connect with God. Maybe for you, when you hear Jesus being described as your father, you begin to view him as a father who is never satisfied. Because it didn't matter what you did in your life, how many accomplishments you made, how great grades you had, or the trouble you stayed off, your dad was never satisfied. Never satisfied. Never said, I'm proud of you. And so therefore, you look at God and you start to think the same thing. God must never be satisfied. Or maybe when you hear Jesus being described as your father, you begin to view him as a father who's distracted, or just disconnected. Maybe your dad was a great man, a great leader at work, but a terrible father. Because that's all he cared about. Or at least that's all it appeared he cared about, because that's all he was focused on was work and work and everything else but you. I think back a few years ago, Jen and I and the kids were sitting in the living room and at our house, and I don't really know why, but I asked a very difficult question to my kids. One that I knew was going to get a response that I probably didn't want to hear. But I was trying to become better. So I don't remember the exact words that I said, but I basically asked them something like, What could I do better as your dad? Or what do you wish was different about me as your dad? Something like that. And with the quickness, they both said, man, we wish you didn't work so much. Wish that you spend more time with us, especially on the weekends. And you see, if none of us are perfect, but if that's something that I don't focus on and that I don't try to improve and correct, then I run the risk of leading my kids into viewing God as a distracted and disconnected father. And that's a big responsibility. But maybe that's a situation for you, that you view God as that distant and distracted father because that's the way your dad was. Or maybe when you hear Jesus being described as your father, you begin to view him as a father who's just maybe just always angry. Because that's the way your pops was. He was just bitter, angry, grumpy, never happy. Didn't matter what happened, even if it was, you know, the greatest day in his life, he just sat there, stank face, angry. And so you view God that way. Always mad, always full of wrath. Like Bruce Almighty, as he's on the anthill with his magnifying glass ready to burn your feelers off, you know. He's just angry. See, that creates these blind spots in our relationship with him. When we falsely view him that way, when we view him as our earthly father. But whatever the situation is for you, when you hear Jesus described as your father, you project that image of your earthly father onto God. And that can be very damaging. So if that's you this morning, and I would venture to say that we all have a little bit of that, some of us a lot. But if that's you this morning, I want you to do your best. And I know this isn't easy. It's not an easy ask. But I want you to do your best to kind of clear your mind, right? Kind of run a clean slate of your view of Jesus as a father. And not view him through the lens of your earthly father, but allow Jesus to reveal to you who he really is. Let him speak to you. And one of the ways that he speaks to us and reveals himself to us is through scripture. That's one of the many ways that he does. And when you look at scripture, when you look at Jesus as a father through the lens of scripture, there's all kinds of attributes and characteristics of a true father, of an everlasting father that's honestly can be a game changer in your life. So for the rest of our time this morning, what I want to do is I want to focus in on just three of those characteristics. And there's plenty more. But I want to focus in on these three characteristics and that I think are probably some of the most common characteristics that we might struggle with in viewing Jesus as a father. And the first thing that we see in scripture is that our everlasting father, I mean, he's compassionate. He's compassionate. A compassionate father. And Psalm 103, verse 8 tells us, says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. I mean, right there, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. What a great father. Just right there in that passage. Multiple things that we see in characteristics and attributes. It's beautiful. One of the most freeing things that you could ever take hold of in your life is that there is nothing, honestly, absolutely nothing that you could ever do to earn God's acceptance. There's nothing that you can do to earn God's love because it's unfailing. He's going to give it to you. Equally, there's nothing that you can do for God to make God stop loving you. Again, it's unfailing. And that's how a true father operates. Full of mercy, full of compassion, slow to get angry, patient, full of unfailing love. But maybe for you, maybe this is a tough truth to grasp, a tough truth to take hold of because you've spent the majority of your life performing, just trying to perform, trying to earn everyone's acceptance and everyone's love. You're constantly performing for your dad maybe, or maybe it was for a coach or for a teacher or a pastor or a friend or for your family. Constantly performing for your boss, just trying to gain approval. Someone to say good job, someone to love you, and you're just constantly in this performance mindset. Man, that's unfortunately been the case for me so often in my life. And it's something that easily slips right back into my mind, and I take on that mindset if I'm not careful and if I'm not watching out and I'm not paying attention to it. Trying to perform for everyone else just to be approved of, to fit in, to feel right, to feel good, feel loved. And it's a grueling and destructive mindset. Like I said, I know from personal experience. And one of the many reasons that this mindset can be so destructive is not only is it just like this, this constant, you know, chasing your tail kind of situation, but maybe the most devastating is that when we find ourselves in this mindset, we begin to approach our relationship with God the exact same way. And that is destructive. We begin to work, right? And we stress, and we work, and we stress just trying to gain God's approval, hoping that God will love us if we perform. And then what happens is then we begin to go to church, right? And we read our Bibles and we pray, not because we long to connect with our good God, with the one who laid down his life for us. Not so that we connect with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and to know him more, but we do it because we deep down don't believe that God approves or loves us for who we are. And so we perform. We do the Christian checklist, and we run through it all just hoping that God will maybe approve of us. We perform. And again, from experience, I know that this is an exhausting and honestly a very unnecessary process. And it's unnecessary because our everlasting Father is compassionate. He's full of unfailing love. And while your earthly father, even if he was a great father, you may not have always experienced unfailing love because he's a flawed dude. But not our God. Not our everlasting Father. Check out what Jesus has to say about those who are constantly trying to perform, right? Trying to earn his favor and earn his acceptance and approval. He says this in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. It says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Rest. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I am wiped out and exhausted. Not just physically, but emotionally, mentally. And many times I bring that upon myself just trying to perform for other people. Or trying to perform for God. As opposed to just staying connected to him. And seeking him. And taking his yoke upon me and learning from him. And finding rest. Because he loves you. He's compassionate, full of unfailing love. Not because of anything that you've done or could ever do, but only because of Jesus and the sacrifice that was made. The fact that to us, a child was born and given. God in the flesh came down, lived a perfect life, died and rose again for us. So that we could be made right and connected to the Father. That's why we can find rest for our souls. It's why we don't have to constantly run around and perform like crazy, but we just connect to the Father and love him and serve him and glorify him. That's why we do it. So we can have rest. Jesus, our everlasting Father, and he's compassionate. He loves you. He approves of you through Jesus and the sacrifice. The next characteristic that we see of Jesus when we look in Scripture is that our everlasting Father is caring. He's caring. He's a Father that truly loves and cares. He's not angry. He'll never hurt you. He's not abusive. He only wants what's best for you. Sometimes we don't always understand the way he operates because his ways are way greater than ours. But he cares. And he loves you. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 tells us this. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Check this out. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jesus, our Father, he cares deeply about you. That's the way a father should operate, right? That they want you to prosper, not to harm you. They want to give you hope and a future. That's exactly who Jesus can be in your life. He can be that type of father. He cares for you. He wants what's best for you. And without a doubt, I can confidently sit here before you and look each one of you in the eye and say that our good God cares about you and has a plan for you. I mean, he ordained a plan for your life. He created you and crafted you a certain way to do things that only you can do, to reach people that only you can reach, to love people that only you can love. He has plans for you because he's a father that cares. And honestly, this one's that simple. I'm not really going to go on and on about that. Man, he cares about you. So much so that he has a plan for you and wants to prosper you. And our Father is compassionate. And he cares about you. And the final thing that we see when we look into Scripture, we look through the lens of Scripture, we see that Jesus, our everlasting Father, is always there. And this is something that has been so pivotal in my life, especially over the past few years. The truth, the fact that Jesus is always there. Man, that's so comforting. Regardless of what you've experienced from your earthly father. And I understand that some people may have experienced some very tragic and terrible and traumatic things. And if that's you, I'm so sorry that you had to go through that and that you experienced that. But understand that it's not your eternal father. It's not your heavenly father. It's not how he works. It's not how he operates. He will always be there. Compassionate, caring, and he will always, always be there. And that's a promise that'll never be broken. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you don't do. He'll be there. It doesn't matter how bad you screwed up. It doesn't matter how far you try to run away from God. When you turn back around, he's right there. You cannot outrun his love. You cannot outrun his presence. He will always be right there. And I know sometimes it may not feel that way when you get in your feelings and you get in your emotions, but he is. He will always be there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the author reminds us this. It says that God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. If you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard that over and over and over again, probably. But man, let that sit fresh and anew in your heart, that he will never leave you, never abandon you, never forsake you. Just for fun, I looked up the word never in the dictionary just to see exactly what it said, although I think we can all identify and define never. But it says, at no time in the past or future, on no occasion, not ever, not at all. Never will he leave you. And maybe you're sitting here today, man, and life's dealt you some nasty cards recently. It's been tough. Maybe you were laid off recently or had to take a pay cut right at the holidays. Terrible time for that. Never a good time, but it's always a tough time around the holidays. Or maybe you were recently diagnosed with some type of illness, maybe major, or maybe one that's just going to require constant monitoring, but that's stressful, and it's heavy on your heart, or it's someone that you love that was diagnosed with something, or Or maybe you're just struggling with loss. Maybe you lost some family this past year or a few years ago, or a friend, or both. And thinking about entering the Christmas season without them, man, it's just heavy on your heart. Maybe you just feel incredibly alone. Maybe your dad abandoned you. Maybe for whatever reason your dad turned his back on you. And you just feel alone, rejected, less than. Understand that no matter what you're going through today, and we all have something that we're going through, don't kid yourself. The person sitting next to you, sitting beside you, to your left, right, behind you, and in front of you, and they've got life that they're dealing with. But understand that we have a good God, an everlasting Father, who will never leave you, who will never abandon you in your time of need, and will never forsake you. And he's going to ride with you till the end. He's got your back 110%, always. He's your everlasting Father. And again, I know that can be complicated at times. Thinking about Jesus as a father, simply because of the fact that our earthly fathers aren't perfect. Again, maybe overall they were okay, but still made their share of mistakes. And you think about that. Or maybe they just completely blew it, and it left a huge void in your life. Struggle. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what you experienced with your earthly father. But what I know the situation of your everlasting Father. And I know that he's perfect. The perfect Father. If you could take a piece of paper and just start writing down all the things, all the attributes and characteristics of the perfect Father that you could think of, he's that list. And so much more. He's your everlasting Father. So let Jesus begin to remove those barriers. Those barriers that may have been created by fallen man. And begin to reveal to you who he really is. And how much he loves you. He's our perfect Father. Everlasting Father. A Father who is compassionate. Full of compassion. He's a Father who always cares. Has plans for you. To prosper you. To give you hope and a future. And he's a Father who will always be there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's our everlasting Father. For to us, a child is born. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning thanking you for who you are in our lives. God, thanking you for the fact that despite what we may have experienced from our earthly fathers, that we can look to you and know that you are good. Know that you are our everlasting Father, the perfect Father. And that you can fill that void and those gaps that may have been left by fallen humanity, by fallen man. And Lord, we thank you that you are all those things that we just talked about and so much more. That you are our everything, that you are our all in all. And that your love and mercy and grace is unfailing. And we thank you for that. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been kind of checking out the claims of Christ. You've been coming to church off and on, or jumping into scripture a little bit, or talking to people, but you've never really stepped over that line of faith. Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time, and you've just kind of just been just leaving it hanging out there, just that, you know, I'm okay. But maybe you're here this morning, and it's time to truly embrace the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, your everlasting Father. To put your faith and trust in him, receiving him as your Savior. Maybe you've been on that performance track, trying to earn God's love and acceptance and approval and forgiveness. I hate to break the news to you, but if that's your goal, you're going to fail. Because you're not perfect. And it's going to be an exhausting cycle that you're going to run this race, running, and always come to the same result, the same feeling, the same mindset. But the beautiful, good news is that you don't have to do that. You don't. Because God knew that we couldn't do it ourselves. God knew that we weren't able to make ourselves right before him, so therefore he sent his son. As I said earlier, to die and raise again, to be that sacrifice for us. So that we could receive forgiveness, that unfailing love, that no matter what we do, that we can always be connected to him through Jesus, that we could be made right. And when you get that, when you truly understand that, the only logical response is then to give your life to him, to confess and believe that he is the Son of God and that he is our Savior. And then from there, you long to be more like him and to glorify him because you understand more clearly the fact that you can't make yourself right and you need that Savior. You're so thankful for that, that you want nothing more than to glorify him and serve him and walk with him. We can't do it on our own. That's why we need Jesus. And scripture tells us in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. It's a heart connection between you and God. So if that's you this morning, and you're ready to step over that line of faith, to embrace your everlasting Father and to come into that relationship with him, just confess and believe. Just do business with him. Again, it's about you and him, nothing else. Confess that you have flaws. Confess that you're not perfect and that you're in need of a Savior. Believe that he is the one and only Savior, the one and only way to be made right before God. And you receive that. And I promise you, scripture tells you that at that point you will be a new creation, and then you have an everlasting Father that's compassionate and caring and that will never leave you. Got you. And it's so freeing and so beautiful. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower and you've been connected with him at that level. You've confessed and believed. You've stepped over that line of faith, but you struggle at times to receive all that God wants for you. And maybe it's because of that you're projecting some type of earthly father onto him. Or maybe you're projecting some other type of human, flawed human characteristic onto him. Trying to gain approval, trying to gain love. Thinking that he's always mad or angry, waiting to judge you, waiting to punish you. Understand he's an everlasting father who cares, is compassionate and loves you. I can't say it enough. And if that's you, man, just allow God to work in you and change that in you. Just call on him. Ask him to remove those thoughts and those views and for you to see him clearly with all of his love, with all his glory, so that you could serve him, not to perform, but just to receive and love him. Wherever you're at this morning, whatever God's speaking to you and moving in your heart right now, you just respond to him. So Jared and the team are going to play a song, and you can just right there from your seat, you can connect with God, or if you want to come forward and have someone pray with you, we'll have some of our team up here.
Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Continue in our worship with our tithes and our offerings. The team will come forward. Here at LifePoint Church, there's a few different ways that you can give. You can give when the basket passes here in a second, or you can go online to our website. Top right-hand corner of the screen is an online giving button. You can click that. It takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give, but we encourage you just to be faithful in your giving and begin to give biblically. And if you're not now, we encourage you to make those steps to begin to do that. And I know, just from my own personal experience, that God will bless and honor that in your life. So we encourage you to do that. Also, we are still taking collection for Mike and Tess's. We want to love on them this Christmas. So if you want to give to that, you can just write that on an envelope. If you write a check or cash or whatever you want to do, and just write Mike and Tessa on there and drop that in the basket or hand that off on your way out the door. I know that they're going to greatly appreciate that, and it's very, very needed. So we want to continue to love on them because they are our family, and we want to take care of our family. So we encourage you to do that. Also, if this is your first time out, man, thank you so, so much for being here with us today. When you came in, you should have received a connection card. It's in your bulletin, but on that connection card, if you just fill that out with just some of your general information, we just want to connect with you. We want to get to know you a little bit better, know how to love you and to help you out, and just to connect with you. It's a connection card, so hey, connect, right? So, but you can exchange that out at the info table just for a little gift from us. It's a way we say thank you for being here and taking the time to fill that out and just to worship with us today. So we encourage you to do that. Also, if you made any decisions for Christ, have any questions, need prayer, you can do that on the connection, write that on the connection card as well, and drop it off. We'll be praying over those. We'll reach out to you as needed. A few announcements that we have. Again, like I said, next Sunday is our Christmas service, so please be here for that. Bring a friend, bring whoever, but man, everybody, just at least bring somebody. invite somebody, invite a bunch of people, man, because we want to share, man, the birth of Christ with anyone and everyone that we can get here, especially those that don't know Christ, man. That's what it's about. We're about reaching those people and loving on them and introducing them to a very real and loving God. So, man, bring your crew, bring your squad. We want them here. And we want to love on them and for them to celebrate the birth of Christ with us. Also, for many of you know that we have another church in our denomination, Grace Crossings, that's over in the south end of Louisville. Many of you all have gone over there for meals and know a lot of people over there. So they're having a Christmas dinner on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, and they've invited our whole church over to attend that. So if you would like more information, if you could raise your hand in the back, everyone turn around, look around, you can see these two lovely ladies. And they will point you in the right direction and get you all the information that you need. But Reed is the pastor out there. He's a good friend of mine. He's a great, great guy. So if you want to go out to there and have a meal, they would love to have us. And so go check that out at Grace Crossing, south end of Louisville, out in Valley Station. So some of y'all know what that's about. Also, we need volunteers in our kids' ministry. You know, probably every church in America says that every once in a while, right? But we need people to serve in our kids' ministry. Some of you all are serving, and thank you so much for that. And our kids are our future, and we need to make sure that they have a safe place to enter and to encounter, like I said, a very real God that loves them. And we want them to learn the truth of our Savior and do so in a fun and safe environment. So we need more volunteers. So if you're interested in that, you can come talk to me or Daniel Henderson. Daniel's probably down there now, but you can hang out and catch him, or you can just talk to me, or you can write it on a connection card that you're interested in serving, and trust me, he will call you with the quickness. And then finally, on January 6th, we have a congregational meeting that will directly follow the service. So make plans to be here. If you are a member of the church, or maybe think you're a member of the church, that's one of the things we'll talk about in our congregational meeting. I understand our journey that we've been on as throughout the year merger process, but we want you to come to that. We have a lot of things to talk about some budget stuff and board stuff and, you know, membership, and then also some really exciting stuff that we're hoping to see in 2019. It's going to be an awesome year. It's going to be a busy year, and I want to get you all as excited as I am about 2019. So January 6th, make plans to be here after the service, and we will. I'll try not to preach forever that day, believe it or not, and then we'll try to get y'all out at a good time, but it'll be great. So make plans to be here for that. That's enough. I've spoken enough. No one wants to hear me anymore, and I get that. Love you guys. Thank you all so much for being here and being a part of LifePoint Church. Go be Jesus in your community this week and to your world, and invite someone out next week as we celebrate the birth of Christ. Thank you all. Love you. And we will see you guys later.
All right, let's rise. We're going to go back to Revelation song, the song we meditated on just a while ago. I don't think the words are up there, but I think we all hopefully know it by now. We're going to sing Filled with Wonder, Awestruck Wonder at the Mention of Your Name. Let's close it strong today. Here we go. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder.